Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party.
Hey everyone, welcome to The After Party, the podcast for Harbor of Hope, where we get to talk to the person who shared a message this week. And today, my name is Kelly and I get to interview Jeff Dalrymple, who is normally our host for The After Party. And he's going to share a little bit about the word he shared today on Mother's Day. So hey, Jeff.
Hi, it's good to be here.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm good after having preached at a computer.
I know, right?
It's weird. I'm happy to be done with that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was a really, really good word. So, hey, what's your 1 minute summary of what you talked about today?
Yeah. So, we've been in the series on Taste and See, which is talking about how scripture is like food and we should devour it like food and savor it like food. And because it has value like food does. And so today our metaphor was salt. Mm-hmm. And, I talked about how salt is good. It is delightful to have on food and it is flavorful, but it's also a purifier. It's also a preservative. It is also a healing agent. Like, it has so many purposes that are directly a metaphor for how scripture is to be for our life. Mm-hmm. And the salt is a, in ancient Israel, salt was a one of the primary metaphors that culturally they understood to be representing relationships and friendships. So if scripture is to be our salt, it is supposed to be our avenue to sustaining and enhancing our relationship with God, the way that salt enhances and sustains food.
So good. I really never thought of it that way until you started to explain this. And it's a really good metaphor, and metaphors are just something hard for me to wrap my own head around. It's not something I use very much. Well, I like that you started off just explaining we're still in the season of quarantine or isolating at home. And we've been doing that for about 2 months. So you've been snacking a little bit over those 2 months?
I've been trying not to snack too much.
I know, me too.
Yeah. But
so more of accessible. A sugar guy or a salt guy?
Oh, I'm so much more salty.
Yeah.
I got really into like having protein bars because they're they're like packed nutritionally and they're delicious. So those, I do have a lot of sweets in my life because those are usually more sweet. But I found these protein based chips and so they're, I mean, there's all kinds of protein based snacks, but these are, they're just not that good, but they're better than, you know, I'll default to chips and guac.
Yeah.
If I have it, because it's delicious and it's just delicious. So it was good to have some of those protein snacks that they weren't the best, but they sustained me a little bit.
And they keep you away from, for me, it's more like Cheez-Its and Goldfish. They're deadly. So salt, snacking is a little bit hard right now.
It's
a little
bit. It's accessible and it's there and it's hard to stay occupied otherwise.
But it's good that you're putting us away from the salty snacks and back onto God's word of salt. So salt was life in Israel. And it's so powerful the way that you brought up these words that I had never really noticed before. And that salt was an antiseptic and a purifier. And I can't think of anything that'd be more applicable to today while we're all running around looking for hand sanitizer and Clorox wipes and Lysol spray. So can you explain that a little bit? I'd never really heard this until you talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how exactly salt was used as an antiseptic, like as a healing agent or a purifier, but it was used, it was so multi-purposeful, like it kept food, it kept meat stored where deserts would rot food right away. This kept meat for days or weeks at a time. It was used as on sacrifices, as an aroma to God. It was used as a healing agent. Because salt is absorbent, it takes away any impurities out of food as well. So it kind of absorbs away these. Yeah, it sanitizes. Before germ theory existed, they had salt that took away the bad stuff out of food, and it cleansed it. And it is very applicable for because we are very worried about getting too many germs. We're trying to stay cleansed very literally. So it's an apt metaphor for the day.
Well, and what's amazing then is that just really enlightens what Jesus is saying when he's talking about salt. Because if we don't know this backstory to the power of salt, it doesn't really for me, it was always easier to understand. We'll get to that in a minute. In Matthew mm-hmm. 5, like, you're the light of the world. The light makes sense. Salt was making less sense as why right. it was so important, because we use other things mm-hmm. now for those antiseptic, purifying things. But also yeah. you were saying salt is something that points to friendship and loyalty. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's even a saying mm-hmm. that there is salt between us. And yes. I loved how you explained it. You want to say that little
yeah, about well, salt? Anyone, any young person today at least knows that being salty with someone means that you're angry with them.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I, which is not to, sorry, not to call out any age gaps, but like being salty at someone is a very real thing where you're upset with them. But that is, that's just shows where, why scripture interpretation and cultural interpretation is so important, because yeah. we understand it to mean the exact opposite thing than mm-hmm. they did in the Bible.
Right.
So they had this phrase, salt, there is salt between us, where if people were eating a meal together, they would have salt in a bowl at the table between them, mm-hmm. Not just for the purpose of salt and flavor enhancement and whatever else, but because it was a symbol of their friendship. It was to say, it was just a cultural tradition to say that we are friends and I trust mm-hmm. you. And I think it's like similar to maybe the, I don't know if this is true or not, but the tradition states cheers, like doing cheers yeah. with someone is so like you splosh your drinks together. And if there's poison in one drink, that it's like a sign of trust that there's no yeah. poison in either drink. Which that might be totally made up, but I've read right. that on the internet somewhere.
So then it's true.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like that. It's a cultural idea of like, of saying we trust each other and we're friends.
Yeah. And you're both using the salt to flavor your food. And, yeah. and I think that was something so important that you just said, that we need to have understanding mm-hmm. around what we're reading in scripture, because it could literally mean the opposite of what we mm-hmm. would think it would mean. Oh, I know yeah. when I used to teach children's ministry, one of the stories was that Jesus healed a lame man. And mm-hmm. as you can imagine, the kids had a different understanding of what Jesus was doing.
Yeah, right. What a lame-o.
What a lame-o, right. So, well, in Matthew chapter 5, we see the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' mm-hmm. sermon that people probably read more than anything else. And you were saying there's a lot of metaphor there. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things you can dig into, but you chose to use that as mm-hmm. your place to talk about salt. What was it that sort of connected with you from Matthew 5?
It was, I mean, there was so much to it. I almost talked about the Beatitudes beforehand, but I decided not to. It was a little, just for the sake of the message, keeping it short and concise. But so Jesus has a Sermon on the Mount. He says the Beatitudes, which is like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those in mourning. Blessed, blessed, blessed are those. And then he goes into the sermon. And the first thing he uses is, he says, you are the salt of the earth, telling people that they are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. And it resonated with me because, I actually almost didn't, I the way I shared it today, I've never heard it exactly that way before. Mm. So not that I'm, so there's more to it. So if you're hearing this, keep researching that passage, because there's a lot more ways to look at it. But it stuck out because as I was reading about salt, I didn't realize covenants were called covenants of salt. Like I didn't either.
I never
I never took that in and held on to that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, this is all Old Testament. And the only thing that I found, or the first prominent thing I found in the New Testament of salt, was Jesus saying, you are the salt of the earth. And so it just kind of made sense. Like, well, if salt was always used as relationship with God, then this is what that means. It's representing God to the world, God's relationship mm-hmm. with the world. So that stuck out. It was also significant because it was the first, and I think because it was the first thing that Jesus said, it was, or at least recorded that he said in the sermon after the Beatitudes, it's pretty important and mm-hmm. worth, it's like a thesis statement, right? It is the right. primary the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big idea. And obviously there's a lot of other ideas in those three chapters, but it just feels significant. Actually, side note, Kelly, when I was in your children's ministry, this was the first...
This is why I'm old and I don't know salty
Sorry, again. This was the first passage that I had to memorize in Sunday school. I was challenged to memorize it and got some candy for it.
Good job. Yes, yeah, we were very big on the candy.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bribe. A bribe is to do something bad. A reward mm-hmm. is when you do something good. So yeah, it's a reward.
Incentivized yeah. reward.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what I loved what you were talking about today is that, you know, in it, Jesus says, you are the salt, but that salt can lose its saltiness. Mm-hmm. And you really broke that down so well, that salt doesn't change. Mm-hmm. What happens is it becomes diluted.
Yes.
And I, you know, for me, the most important thing I think God's ever taught me is this, that his identity in us is who we really are, his essence in us. And you spoke a bit about our essence being the children of God. I didn't know if you'd talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was something that I, like, that's where my heart is. I'm happy to talk about scripture and why it's so important, but my heart, I would have loved to, and I've given sermons on that idea, and I would have loved to riff on that even more today. Because that is the core of it. That is the mm-hmm. core of what we believe, is that mm-hmm. we are never changing in our identity mm-hmm. as children of God. And so the idea from salt is that salt is salt. Like, no matter, you can break it down cube into cube into cube into cube, smaller and smaller, and is never going to change. Yeah. So I said it's the same whether it's a large salt rock or if it's a single molecule of sodium chloride. It mm-hmm. is these bonded, two bonded elements that become salt. And at its core, that is what it always will be. And so that is who we are. If we are, no matter where we are, what we're doing, our essence is still the same. Our identity is still the same. We are always going to be children of God. We are always going to be beloved. Mm-hmm. The difference is that we might not have we might be watered down in that we might be less connected to our purpose. We might lose sight of where God is or where our relationship with God is or what we're supposed to be doing with it. But in our essence, we are always changing. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to think if we're not connected to God that we're less loved or less forgiven or have less purpose or value, but that is a lie mm-hmm. because in our culture and a lot of cultures, we sense our value based on our output and what we do, based on our connection to our purpose and whatnot. And so if we're not overtly connected to that or like feeling connected to God all the time, then we think we're less than. But the big idea is that we are always the same. We are always, to our essence, loved children of God.
And I think that's never been more important than now, where mm-hmm. some of how we connected to God is just impossible. You can't go into a church. You can't go and just hang out at your friend's house and sing some songs together. You can't go to a concert. You can't just have communion with people you love. So that physical separation, people are feeling it. And I love that you acknowledge that today. Mm-hmm. Today's also Mother's Day. Yeah. So I was wondering if you had a story about your mom that, you know, I think she's great. So I'd love to hear something about her. I loved your little post today.
Yeah. Well, Facebook found those pictures for me, which was
nice. Nice. They made you look good.
The truth is, and my mom can hear me right now, so she might be listening in. I was tempted to post a video embarrassing her today. I posted one on her birthday last month where I got a video of her after she had dropped a platter of vegetables. And then I was going to post a video where it was right after she had eaten a fry out of the garbage can.
He likes the salty foods too.
Yeah, salty food, exactly. I decided not to, but I will put it out to the world.
You can just put it out to the world in the podcast. There you go.
Yeah, my mom just said thank you. You're welcome.
What other better way to honor your mom than a friend story?
Yeah, no, but that's what I love about my mom is that we can have a goofy relationship and still have so much love and support for one another. Yeah, we connect on a really fun level that I like.
She brings out that side of you. That's so fun.
Yeah, and not just silly fun, but like, I feel like we're just, we think a lot of the same way about the world. Hey, party people. I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party.
Well, was there anything else you thought about that? I know sometimes you start writing and it can go into five different directions. Anything that made the cutting room floor that you would have spent more time on if there was more time?
Yeah, probably. there was a lot of, there's a lot of other instances of salt in the Bible that I didn't really explore too much, like Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt.
Did you study that? I'd love to know more about that.
I did, but it's honestly far enough in the past that I kind of forget what the idea was.
Yeah.
Because salt did hold more purpose and it held more metaphor than just relationship. I emphasize relationship, but.
Well, I know even getting off the metaphor of salt, you were thinking of also talking about the light part, but that you didn't want to go 10 different directions. So.
Yeah, there was so much that it really had to be kept to that one lane. One thing I left out was comparing. I talked about Eugene Peterson and gnawing on a bone. That was his main metaphor. I in the moment, I was like, this is too lame. I took out I was going to compare it to eating like a chicken wing. Cause I know when I eat chicken wings, I want to get all the substance off of it, all the flavor off of it. And that's how I want to think of reading scripture, like eating a good buffalo wing.
Yeah. I don't think that's lame at all. I was looking forward to you getting to share that. The other thing that, because I get to see some of the stuff behind the scenes before the final product. Yeah. And the other thing that you blessed me with last week was, you know, two ways that we can be spending time in scripture is being curious and meditation. I didn't know if we wanted to close talking about that a little bit, someplace we could point people to.
Yeah. So staying curious is, I think, one of the most important parts of our scriptural interpretation and like our relationship with God, because there's so much in the Bible that reading it, like if we read it at face value, I wouldn't be a Christian. Like God commanding the Israelites to kill all of the Canaanites, God commanding genocide, God flooding the earth, which is less of a cute story with animals and more about God, you know, flooding the earth and only saving two out of however many people were alive, or not two, but the family of Noah, or even passages in the New Testament about that involve submission and like talk about women not speaking and talk about slavery and talk about things that just don't sound right when you read them. So staying curious is important because there's so much to understand and unpack and know about the time it was written and what it was meant to sound or how it was meant to be heard the first time and how we can understand it today. So staying curious is important so we don't walk away. So we can, because if we stay curious, we dive into these struggles more and learn more about who God is and what he wants from us and what his plan really is. And for better or worse, you might walk away and not like what you find. But I think at the end of the day, you find that it is ultimately a story about God loving the world and calling us into that. And some of the details are scary and weird, but studying them and staying curious is what brings me life and keeps me connected. The other piece that I talked about was meditating in God's word. And you know, more often than not, I find myself reading scripture and it feels dry and it feels like I'm thinking about it and I'm just kind of reading it and it doesn't feel like real relationship. And when I meditate on the word, when I stop and slow down and repeat what I'm reading and intentionally allow the spirit in as I read, then scripture has life and meaning and it is refreshing and life-giving. And Harbor is releasing meditations every week. I think it's undecided if we'll continue this after the series is over or not. But I've been producing them and they've been a lot of fun. And this week, we're going to release one from Psalm 46:10, which will be worth sitting in.
It was. I got, you know, the preview, and it was just a powerful day to just sit in the sun on a chair, put my face up to the sun, and hear the word over and over again, one word less, absorbing it. You know, very much like what we want Taste and See the series to be, to bring the word in, to absorb it, to have it be life. And what you remind us of is this essence, right? That curiosity is necessary. And at the same time, what we're getting to is the essence of in the word of God, we begin to connect. I love that word, relationally, and have an understanding of who we are, his love kids. So I hope that everybody gets a chance. You'll probably link to the meditation from the podcast or let people know
yeah,
how to get there?
It'll be on our website and on the Apple podcast feed. So it's kind of all right. We have three different things on there now, but they'll all be on the same feed.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really know how to end. So any Great. Words for our party people?
Yeah, I'll just end with, I mean, go read your Bible, go meditate. It's good. And it's challenging and hard, especially it's hard in this time to slow down, but it keeps you connected to your purpose. And it reminds you that in the end, at the end of the day, you are still the same and you are still loved and you are still valued. And staying in scripture helps remind you of that. So
well,
go
I love
from
it.
Here, be blessed.
Tell everybody, hey guys, you gotta go try this.
You gotta go try this.
All right.
Exactly. Good stuff. Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.